And we understand that because Jesus was born. He came, left his kingship behind, and he came as a babe in a manger. He came, God, with us. And so I want you, if you have your Bible, you could turn or you can just listen to me. Today, as we focus on Advent, we talk about hope, that we have a hope. And whenever we think about, you know, we're very fortunate that today we live in a time that we are given hope. We have, God came to us and we have that hope. But back in the day, back in biblical times, back before Christ was born, they had a hope, but they were still looking for that hope. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 2 and 6, Isaiah chapter 9, for some reason my Bible skipped, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it said, "For the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of the deep darkness, a light will shine." And then verse 6, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end." And then in Isaiah chapter 40, as we're talking about this hope that we have, that we can have, and we do have, because God came to us. In Isaiah chapter 40, and in verse 1, God says to Isaiah, he says, "Say to the people, comfort, comfort my people, says your God." And then down in verse 3, it says, "Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. For the Lord, make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God." So if God was not coming for us, why would we need to clear a way for him? And of course, we know that in the New Testament, we have John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. His mother was Elizabeth, who was pregnant at the same time as Mary was. And he was the prophet that went before and was the one that was crying out in the wilderness saying, "Make way, for the king is coming." And so I wanted to encourage us this morning, as Pastor brings the word to us, that we remember that God, and this is the word that God gave me yesterday to give to you, God did come,
yes.
He is here, and he will come. God did come, he is here, and he will come. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, God is far off from me, no, he's not. He is here with us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that as we listen to your word this morning, it's word that is life, it is not death. It's word that is with us here and now. Thank you, Father, that you are not a God that is far off, but we have hope because you are with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's good. I want you, if you will, just to open your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to start a series this holiday season called Holy Moments. Holy Moments, or Sacred Moments, we could call it. Holy, sacred means holy as well. And the reason I was really challenged about this in my prayer time, that One is that are we setting aside sacred moments in our lives with God? And more than just that, well, got my Bible reading done. You know, a lot of times our spiritual life can just seem like a checklist where we're running through, well, prayed, read Bible, went to church, gave my offering. I clicked them all off. I'm done. I'm good, right? But that's not really how we enter into holy moments, okay? And I was asked Sharon this question, and I said, can you describe to me any time in your life that you had a holy moment where you experienced something from God, something that God did in your life, whether it was just comfort that came in a real difficult situation, or it was a need that was met. And man, she rattled off like five or six of them right away. But And it was awesome. And I think in my life about all of the holy moments I've had in my life where God showed up. I mean, it just wasn't, maybe I didn't even plan for God to show up and he showed up. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, but that God just supernaturally, something happened. Someone came across my path that said something that I was like, whoa. I was sitting in a restaurant one time. Sharon and I were with another couple, and this woman, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think it was, and this woman came up to the table and said, I don't know you guys. She said, I already left once and came back. How many of you have ever done that? And she said, I left, got in my car, was driving away, and I couldn't get this off my heart. She said, the Lord told me to come back and tell you this. And man, we didn't even see it coming, you know. It was just like, wow. And it was really, really awesome. And it was extremely awkward, obviously, because there was another couple at the table. And she's like prophesying, the Lord just told me to tell you guys that there's stuff that's about to break through. And the thing, well, it encouraged us. Holy moments, like the time that God had told me to build a TV station and it gave me the direction and opened up all the opportunities. I got totally discouraged by a good friend of mine who just said it was a waste of money and we should be putting it into other stuff. And a man that I highly respected. And I mean, I was devastated. I came home, told Sharon, I says, this was terrible. And that night we went to a meeting. We were supposed to go to a meeting. And when we got there was a preacher there that we had never heard before. And all of a sudden he stops in the service, calls me out. He says, somebody today told you something that just totally discouraged you of a dream that God's given to you. And he says, I just want you to know that man was wrong. He's a good friend, but don't pay any attention to what he said. God's got you in this and he's going to take care of everything. Well, it didn't take much, you know, it's like the old song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, right? How many of you are like that? I'm like that. It just takes this. I don't need a lot, just something. And those holy moments happen in our life where we experience things in our life. Maybe you can think of today something in your life where you had an experience with God. Maybe somebody came and said something to you or handed you some money or somebody just encouraged you or something happened that like you were asking the Lord and something came on the radio and it was exactly what you were just talking to the Lord about or a TV preacher said something. I think our salvation is a holy moment. It's a time in our lives where we always reflect back upon it and remember how that we weren't looking for God, but God was always looking for us. Amen. And he was seeking after us. He was chasing us. And one of my new prayers, and I pray this over folks, and I was telling Sharon, I said, God, chase my family. Chase them, Lord God, until they turn and chase you. Amen. Because see, now I know God's still chasing me, but the truth is I'm chasing God now. See, my life is a different life. So maybe you have those holy moments, that time when you were really discouraged and it seemed like you were all alone and then something happened that just swept in and changed everything for you. Those are holy moments. You know, the birth of Christ is a holy moment. It's a thing that happened that nobody was really planning for. It was talked a lot about prophetically, but it was a holy moment. It was something that there's so much about Christmas that is such a beautiful, holy thing to us. And we do really strive for it to become a moment, right? We want like everything to be perfect. The cookies are right. The kids are right. Nobody's fighting, right? The food is all right. The tree is right. Everything's decorated. The house is decorated. All right. And we know how hard that can be. But I'm talking about things that God initiates in our lives, those holy moments. And I believe during this holiday season that God is going to reach, he's going to go from what's called, they call this in the Greek, there's chronos time, which is time that, you know, we count off the minutes, right? The chronos time is the clock ticking away. It's the days, it's the months, it's the years. But then there's another time that's talked about where it says that in due time that God will, that if you don't abandon your faith, in due time God will show up. And that word time is kairos, and it's not about minutes, it's about intervention. It's about God intervening in time to these spaces of time. Am I the only one excited about this? I mean, it's God reaching into our time and coming in and intervening in our lives, saying something to us, helping us and encouraging us. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, it says it like this, and we have it on the screen here if you don't have it. In this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. One translation says, it was revealed to us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might live through him. In this is love. So now he comes back around to it. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the substitution for our sins. That's the Christmas story. That's really what Christmas is all about. It's that man was not seeking God, but God was seeking man. That God initiated and manifested his love to us. Notice this verse says here that we didn't love God. You know, we don't come to church to get you know, and give our lives to Christ because we're like, I just love God and I want to know everything about him. We come to church because we're empty and broken, like the song. How perfect, Natalia, that song for today. That we're broken and we need mended. We're desperate and we need help in our lives. And so we come to him and we say, Lord, come into our lives. I remember a friend of mine. He's with the Lord now, but he was sitting in a hotel room. His name was George, and he was going to take his life. He had gone to the hotel to kill himself, and he's sitting in this hotel room. He's all messed up and broken, and he's ready to take his life, and all of a sudden, Billy Graham came on the TV set. That's a holy moment. He went all over the world preaching the gospel. His life was totally and radically changed. I mean, he didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to have Jesus come into the room through the words of Billy Graham. And you say, well, that's just a coincidence that happened. Well, I want to tell you that there are millions and millions throughout the ages of coincidences just like that, where all of a sudden God showed up in a situation. Len Mink, who just passed away, Len just went home to be with the Lord this last week. And Len, if you ever have heard, he was a very well-known celebrity in Cincinnati. He was on the morning shows. He was a big-time celebrity, but his life was a mess and alcoholism, and he was just a terrible, terrible mess. And he was actually sitting in a hotel room with a shotgun ready to blow his brains out, and the Lord came in. He said, Lord, if you're real, just somehow speak. And something came into the room. This time it wasn't Billy Graham. It was just a feeling, a presence that came into the room. And he said, and I put that shotgun down and I gave my life to Christ right there in the room that day. Look, you know, these are holy moments in our lives. And there are things that when we talk about Christmas, you know, the celebration of presents and all the other stuff and family, really there should be a celebration of remembering these holy moments in our lives, because that's the love of God expressed to us. That we didn't deserve, we should not have had, but God showed his love. Christmas is about love, not our love for God, but his love for us. And you know what's amazing about God's love is God's love is static and consistent. You know, it stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's also dynamic and specific, that there are times in his love that he intervenes into our lives, that things happen in our lives that fit our situation, you know, perfectly. He comes into our situation that we're dealing with, and really there's no reason he has to do that except that he is love. And so that's how he manifests that love to you and I. His love, when experienced, are the holy moments that happen in our life. I was thinking about this song this last week. Some of you remember, it's an older hymn, but it went, when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. You know, that's what happens in a holy moment. It's something beyond the natural world that we're dealing with. It's nothing that earth can give to us. It's an experience that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, it's not always what God does for us. Now listen, this is how holy moments work. It's not always what God does for us, but it's also what God does through us. Have you ever done something and you knew God was using you in that situation? How powerful that is. You know, in Marietta, Ohio, years and years ago, I mean, this would have been like, well, probably close to 38 years ago. Our kids were little, and it was Christmas. It was Christmas Day. And we were like, you know, we're planning our day and all the things that we're going to do with our family and go to Sharon's mom and dad's, and we've got everything all geared up and excited about the presents. And we got a phone call from this woman who said, look, she says, I need help. And you know, you have a lot of thoughts that run through your head, honestly, when that kind of stuff, like, okay, this is a major inconvenience to our family because we're busy. And if you knew you were going to need help, why didn't you call, you know, all the things we can do. Why didn't you call the day before? And, you know, and, but she said, we're just in a desperate situation and we need help. And I think you talked to her, right? Sharon had talked to her on the phone. And so we thought, well, we're going to go and, you know, but we're kind of griping. We're going to take care of this and then we're going to go on and do our stuff. And so we went and bought some food and took it to her. And when we pulled up, she came out of her house and we were looking at her house and there was windows that were busted out. There was the curtain, there was plastic that was blowing in and out because it was a cold, windy day. And she came out in a real thin jacket and you could just see that this woman was beat down totally by life. And Sharon and I, we all of a sudden, you know, it just seems like all of your stuff that's going on is not important anymore. I mean, it's just not, because you realize that you're actually rescuing somebody. And you say, well, you know, they should have made better decisions and lived a different life. Well, look, so should you have. But God came to you the way you were. And so we got, Sharon got out, and I mean, Sharon got back in the car, and I mean, she's crying, and I you could just, this woman was so, so grateful. I mean, just so grateful. And we just, you know, shared the love of God with her, and she had a family that was in that house and kids that were hungry. And when we pulled away that, when we pulled out of that driveway, and I want to tell you that our lives were changed. That's what holy moments do, is they change you forever. And I, Sharon and I, we, as we were pulling away, we just, you know, we, for a while, there were not a lot of things we were saying because we were just so overwhelmed with how desperate this situation was and that God actually had a plan to use our lives to be able to help this person. And then we repented, didn't we? And then we repented because we were griping about somebody that was meddling in our festivities of the week and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, we'll never do that again. And we haven't. We made that commitment. Not that I remember that we ever have again. And we actually came out of that and we started a ministry in Marietta, Ohio, a new ministry that really went well. And we modeled it here for years. And it was, we called it Loaves and Fishes. And so what we did is every holiday we would take, I think it was on, it was the week before Christmas or Christmas Eve, and we would actually invite people. We would take hardship cases and invite them to dinner, and then we would give all their family presents. The people just gave towards this, and we made a decision that we would never, that on our part, that we would do our part and get ahead of the game and be a blessing to others that might have. Our lives were forever changed. We came here to, when we came here to Michigan, we did the same thing. Then everybody started doing it, and we were like, well, you know, then it's great. Other people are doing that. We don't need to keep doing the same thing. But I remember here even, we had little kids that came that were just so broken. Some of you will remember that. And we gave them cookies and gave them food. And Verna did such a great job that used to run our Helping Hands ministry. And Verna would put, we'd put bags of food together for their families and toys for their kids. And it was such an incredible thing. But that really, that vision all came out of a holy moment where I had to get my life right with God. My life right with God. And that's what holy moments do in our lives. There are those points where God meets us right where we're at. That's the love. Remember, that's that. And it's sometimes it's just a dynamic situation. It's not a static, like a continuous experience. It's like at the right time, God says something. At the right time, He brings someone into our lives that we can help or that we can be a blessing to. Maybe just to share a word of encouragement and to be a blessing. My whole attitude, you know, really changed about helping people in poverty from that experience. And Sharon will tell you, when we go to Chicago, she has to give me so much money because I'm going to walk down the streets and give people money. And because I just put money in their cups or whatever. And you say, well, yeah, but they're just using the system. I don't care. Because here's the really cool thing. Because I have never put anything in someone's cup and they didn't say, God bless you. God bless you. I said, so I'm doubly blessed. God favors blessing the poor. It says he that lends to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. And I'm blessed because they spoke a blessing over me. Amen. And you can't help everybody, obviously, but you can help the one that's right in front of you. The one that lives next door. The one that's in your family that's hurting. Your neighbor. Your brother, your sister, whoever that would be. That coworker that lost their job and now has no place. We can help those people by becoming their holy moment in their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where we are now something they will always remember, just like you always remember those holy moments in your life. In John chapter 17 and verse 23, Jesus in his great prayer for his disciples said, I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And then he finishes in verse 25 saying, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The exact love that the Father has for Jesus, he's saying that they would experience that exact same love, Father God, in their lives. That's God's plan for your life. The Passion Translation says it like this, I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. Such powerful words that Jesus speaks in this prayer. And you know, if anybody's going to get their prayer answered, it's Jesus. Amen. I mean, we're getting our prayers answered because of Jesus. But if anybody's the Son of God who perfectly pleased the Father in every way has prayed for you that you would experience the same endless love that the Father has for him. The same endless love that the Father has for him. And that love would be in you even as Jesus is in you. That's holy, my friend. That's holy. See, those expressions of holy moments are the love of God manifested among us when we are experiencing that love in our lives. Now, let's bring this into a practical level for our lives, okay? Because, you know, right now we're just like, well, God loves me, hallelujah. And God might use me to love somebody else through being a blessing to them. But how does this apply to my everyday life? Well, it absolutely does. Because in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails or means anything, but it is faith working through love. It is faith that is working through love. Now listen to this out of the Amplified Bible. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love, okay? And expressed and working through love. Now, when I was praying over this verse, the Lord spoke to me and said, Whose love is this verse talking about? You know, faith works by love, is energized and becomes active and is expressed. Whose love is the basis of all faith? Well, we have to come back and realize that it was the one that initiated the love, and that's God. That our faith is strong because it is rooted deep into the love that God has for us. And without the love of God in your faith, you're just going through a ritual. You're just going through the mechanics, because there is a real God that loves you, and that's why you can have faith in whatever situation that you're in right now. And you know, we all got stuff that we're believing for. Everybody here does. I do. You do. I mean, you know, there are things I still am believing God for that I haven't seen a lot of things change in. But I know this, the love of God, that God loves me, and he has manifested that through sending Jesus Christ into this world. That love that has been manifested to me, that I wasn't seeking God, but God was seeking me and called me to himself and called you to himself, that same love is the basis of what I can have faith and trust in his word. I can trust what he said because I know that he loves me and he cares for me. That's why it says in Peter, 1 Peter, you know, in our world that's so full of care, cast the whole of your care. In chapter 5, cast all your care, the whole of your care, all your anxieties, and all your concerns. Do you know how much anxiety is in our world right now? I mean, there is so much anxiety medication being prescribed today for people just to help them deal with life. And it was bad before COVID. It's even way worse than COVID. Now we got kids dealing with anxiety, you know, just absolutely horrible. And what are we supposed to do with that? We're to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I mean, he cares for us? Yeah, listen. He says, all your anxieties, all your worries, once and for all upon him because he cares about you. And here's how it finishes. He cares about you affectionately. He loves you. And he's watching over you. And he's watching over you. Holy moments. Holy expressions of God that happen in our life. Those holy moments are God's expression of love to you, and they are to be our expression back to others of that what God has shown to us. I love because I have been loved. I love not because I need love. I love because I am already loved. Remember, we talk about this a lot, but you know, we come to God from a place of love, not to get love. You say, well, I just wish God loved me. Well, look, you're asking for something you already have. Because he isn't deciding whether he loves you or not. He already decided that. The Christmas story is about God had decided, you know, what compelled Christ to come to this earth, to Jesus, the Son of God, to come into this earth and take on the form of a babe and go through all that process for you and for mankind. It wasn't just out of sheer obedience. It was out of loving obedience, one for the Father to do what the Father asked, but out of loving obedience because for the joy that was set before him because of what he knew this would change in your life. The love of God that is shown to you and I. Hallelujah. You know, the word love that's used in Scripture that and for the love of God consistently is the word agape, and it means self-sacrificing. It's the love that a husband should have for his wife, that he's willing to lay down his own life for her to, you know, and you shouldn't marry a man that's not willing to lay down his life for you. All right? Amen. Holy moments are God's expression of love to you. Where has God showed you love this year? Where have you seen the hand of God in this last 10 years? And are you expecting to see that hand in the next 5 years move in your life, that love revealed to you? John chapter 13 and verse 35 says this, By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People have said to me, you know, before that, you know, we just need a church that's more loving. The only way a church can become loving is not by choice, but because of experiencing the love of the Father, the acceptance of the Father, the generosity of the Father that Jesus prayed that we would have in our lives. Amen. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you during this holiday season that you would experience one of those holy moments. And I'm praying today that you would experience one of those holy moments. There's a thing that can happen in our lives, and maybe you've experienced this before, where we can kind of fall into this trap where we're thinking, well, if God really loves me, he would do this for me, right? If he cared, if he really cared about me, he would have taken care of this for me. If he really cared about this, he wouldn't have, you know. And listen, that is a major trap that a believer can fall into. I'd love to tell you I've never fallen into that trap, all right? You know, but that it is a trap that we can get into where we somehow think that what's happening in our life is that God doesn't love us anymore or God doesn't accept us anymore. You know, it's if you're reading through the book of Job with me right now, I mean, it's so, Job's friends based everything about his relationship with God on what they thought he did wrong. You might know some people like that. Things go wrong, you know, and you know what? And I've heard people say it, even in this good, great Word of Faith church, their tire blows out, their water heater goes bad, they got a leak in the roof. And they say, God, why are you doing this to me? Well, it's not God's fault that your tire went out. But I'm going to tell you this, and it's not God's fault that your roof leaked, and it's not God's fault that your water heater. Things break down in life. How many of you have noticed that? At least once or twice. But you will never get out of where you are because you cannot get into faith unless you realize that God's love did not do this, but God loves me no matter what's going on in this situation. No matter how bad it is, God loves me. God loves me. So I don't even understand how that could be. Well, that's the love of God. It's beyond our natural mind's comprehension. So I'm really praying, I really am, I mean, that you would experience, you know, maybe today, that you might experience even in an altar call where the presence of the Lord just in something that you're broken about right now, you know, just as Natalia was saying there, singing this morning. In fact, I'm going to have you guys come if you would again. And hallelujah. I'm just get things prepped up and ready. And so go ahead, worship team, if you guys want to come. Amen. I know this kind of messes things up, but that's all right. We'll do things perfect next week, right? I like messed up. Amen. I don't know how many of you got to hear Phil Driscoll on TV the other night. He was over at Dr. Barclay's, but Phil talked about how that because we pre-plan the way we want God to move, we miss where God is moving. Those are holy moments, right? I mean, there's those times where we're like, we're thinking, well, no, the next thing we do, that's where I'll meet God. That's where the moment, no. The holy moment is the holy moment. Stand up with me if you would. You know, if you're here if you're battling through something in your life right now or you're struggling and you just, that sense of that this message in your life, this holy moment that God is with you, that he will never leave you, he'll never abandon you. No matter how bad life gets, God never bails. No matter how bad life gets, God never bails. Maybe you're battling through anxiety right now and just that, you know, you want to just throw that. You know, sometimes I think we have to do something to cast that care. You know, cast is an action. It's making something, you know, I'm throwing this down, God. I'm not going to pick it back up again. I'm throwing this down to you today. But I want to just invite you. We're going to sing this just as I am one more time. And Greg, you can go ahead and turn the sanctuary, whoever can turn these lights out if you want to. And I just want you to use, I've left enough time here today that you could use this as a holy moment. So don't be in a hurry. We're not late into this day. And I just want you just to allow the Holy Spirit to just breathe on you today. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that by your power and by your Spirit, you breathe life, Lord God. You love us. Oh, how you love us. And we could come to you, God, broken, shattered, and you don't cast us out. Our imperfect meeting your perfect, Lord God, is awkward for us, but it's not awkward for you. And you receive us. And that the love of God is manifested, Lord, to our lives. I pray that, Lord, today this would be a holy moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a-